It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. A little over a month ago, I traveled to Dallas, Texas for the Invited Celebrity Classic, which is a PGA Champions Tour event held at Las Colinas Country Club. Celebrities from Major League Baseball, the National Football League, the National Hockey League, and actors and comedians were all part of the celebrity field that played alongside the PGA Champions players. Some of the PGA Champions Tour players that were in the field were David Toms, Colin Montgomerie, Vijay Singh, Jerry Kelly, Ken Duke, Glenn Day, Rocco Mediate, Darren Clark, and Retief Goosen, just to name a few. On the celebrity side, you had Larry the Cable Guy, Emmitt Smith, Tony Romo, DeMarcus Ware, Pudge Rodriguez, Brian Urlacher, and Tim Brown. Mark Hensby won the professional side of things, shooting 12 under par over the 54 holes. He won over Charlie Wee in a playoff. He pocketed $300,000. On the celebrity side, Tony Romo took home the championship, winning at the Las Colinas Country Club, his first Invited Celebrity Classic victory. While I was there, I had the opportunity to sit down with a couple of the celebrities for an episode of From the Short Grass. If you are a regular listener, you have already heard from Annika Sorenstam, Greg Maddux, and Alfonso Ribeiro. In this episode, you are going to hear from a first ballot Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. Albert Pujols spent the majority of his MLB career playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. If you know me, you know I can't stand the St. Louis Cardinals because I'm a huge Cub fan. But I put those feelings aside for this interview, and I hope you will enjoy it as much as I did putting it together. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. And when you need a place to stay, whether if it is in El Dorado, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, or Little Rock, find them on the web and select one of their properties for your next overnight stay. We will be back after this.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole. I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to. And a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf. I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. Albert Pujols is regarded as one of the fiercest competitors to ever play the game and is a legend in St. Louis, having played the majority of his MLB career for the Cardinals. He finished his career with 703 home runs, and he loves the game of golf. So without further ado, now on the tee, Albert Pujols.
Albert, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. How's your golf game?
Well, it's been good. I mean, I'm not putting that well. I'm striking the ball well. I just bad hole here and there, you know. I mean, think it's playing good until 15, you know, that wind has started blowing and wow, it changed all of a sudden, you know, it was like probably 2 club wing out there. But it's just fun, you know, just to be here, being part of this event and just having a great time, you know, with guys that I know from the past and just some of these guys that I'm a big fan, you know, playing with these professional golfers.
When did you first pick up the game of golf?
It's been a while. I think it was like 05, 06. But, you know, I'm like everybody else, you know, pitchers, you know, get to play a little bit more than position player. And for myself, I normally play my golf game for the most part in the off season, during the season, maybe around here and there. But when you play every day, you know, it's hard to use that day off that you have when you play 162 games. So, but right now, you know, I'm just playing a little bit more and enjoying retirement and trying to have a good time.
Was it tough to see the pitchers always get to go out? Because, I mean, if they weren't throwing that day, if it wasn't their game to start, I mean, they could go out and play golf if they wanted to, especially on the road, right?
No, it wasn't tough because you could have done it too. I mean, if you wanted to go play, they were always inviting me. But I, like I say, I knew that after I was done with my career, I was going to have more time to play, and that's what I'm doing now. And like I say, I love the game. Something that the moment that I start playing, like I fell in love with it, and I think it was because it's so challenged. You know, you go out there and post a great round, and the next day you think you have it, and just, you shoot a worst round of your career. So at the end of the day, I think for me, I always feel like I don't get paid to play golf. I was a baseball player, and right now I just try to enjoy it and just enjoy a great round, you know.
What's the good part of your game?
The good part is the one that's letting me down this week, which is this weekend, which is the putting. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm having a hard time really keeping the line, and if I'm not long, I'm really short with it. Today I start making some putt. You know, I think I got 5 birdies and made some good putts, but my putting is what letting me down the last couple of days.
Can you correlate the golf swing to a baseball swing? I know they're totally different, but some of the same mechanics maybe?
Yes and no. I guess more yes than no. You know, kind of like the right center swing, and, you know, the only thing different, I think, that you're hitting the baseball a little bit up in the strike zone, the golf ball sitting down and you're looking down and try to strike it. But when it comes to, you know, going to the right center and finish high, pretty much the same thing of baseball, you know, just go through the path and then you just finish high. I know a lot of people say, oh, that's going to screw up your baseball swing. I don't believe myself. I felt that I never played that much golf that was going to affect me. And to tell you the truth, the time that I did play during the season, I always come in the next day and have a great game. So I think everything is mental. Or whatever you put in your mind, you know, you believe in it. And but at the end of the day, like I say, anytime I had an opportunity to play, whether it's 2 or 3 rounds during the course of the season with my son, that's a golfer too, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I love the game. It's just fun, you know. And it's not easy either.
No doubt about that. I mean, I think everybody can tell you it's not easy. When you get out there, is it a time that you can kind of clear your mind and just take all worries aside? And I mean, you're out there, it's you and the golf ball and the course and some buddies.
Of course, it's so peaceful, you know, especially when you have a great day to go out and play some golf, you know. And what I love about this game is like, hey, you can have a bad round, but there's always a good shot, a good putt, or a great up and down that is always bringing you back. And you're like, man, you know, I love that. You know, today was for me, I didn't have it going early. And I had about 240 out. I grabbed my 5 wood and I put it within number 7 within 5 or 10 feet. But I missed that eagle putt. But then, you know, that's when things start rolling. But those are the shots that you look back and you're like, man, this is fun, you know. But then you get to 15 and then the wing start howling. You're like, when? I hope when is the next hole? Where is 18, you know?
Yeah.
But it's fun, you know. It's a gentleman game, and that's something that you said it. It's so peaceful. I know a lot of professional golfers, you know, take it really serious because it's their job.
you know, and just like me, I play baseball and I took my game for 23 years really serious, really focused. But I think, you know, when it comes to the game, I don't take that much time. I dress my ball and I hit it. Same thing with the pot. I read my pot. I don't take as much time as I should take.
When you're out there playing with guys that are World Golf Hall of Famers, and you're no doubt a first ballot Hall of Famer, is it kind of like, wow, I'm playing with whoever it is that's mm-hmm. in the World Golf Hall of Fame? And but you know, yeah. I mean, what's that mental feeling like for you, because that was not your sport? And if you put them on a baseball diamond, yeah. they probably couldn't play.
You'd be surprised. Some of them probably can swing the bat, maybe, you know. It's fun, you know, because it's almost you put yourself in the let's say I was a fan, you know, and I got a chance to meet one of my heroes, you know. And those are the things that happen, you know. Some of these people that are here this weekend, you know, I grew up watching it when I started playing golf, you know, and it's fun. You know, I'm really good friends with Chris DeMarco, you know, Billy Andret, you know, and some of the other guys, you know, that I have played. And I think the best thing about playing in this event that you built a new relationship, you mm-hmm. know, a relationship, you know, with somebody that didn't play your sport, and now, you know, it's you can go to their city, they can come to my city, and if they're in town, you're playing around a golf. So it's a lot of friendship that you can build, and that's something that's pretty special. I mean, to walk around here and see, you know, BJ Singh and Chris, who's a friend of mine, play with him yesterday, it's just fun, you know, it's awesome, and I really appreciate that.
Has he ever talked to you, Chris DeMarco, that is, mm-hmm. about the chip-in by Tiger on 16 at Augusta? Pretty much Tiger won.
No, but
and he lost.
This is funny because that's when our relationship started, our friendship. Because I think I was in 05, if I'm not mistaken. And he walked in. Was it in 05?
I believe so.
Yeah, but I think it was around the area because I remember watching it and him. I was rooting for him so bad. You know, the underdog. Nobody was gonna believe that he was gonna make it. And I was able to build a relationship after that. You know, we were in Jupiter when they went to play that tournament, you know, in the PGA National, and then the kind of South Coast swing. So one day I'm walking into the store and he's walking out like, Chris DeMarco, like big, I'm a big fan. And he's like, look at me. He was like, you know, later on he can tell you.
Did he recognize
like,
you at first?
Of course. He was yeah. like, he kind of looked at me with a face like, I'm a big fan of you too, you know. So we changed number and, you know, we start playing. He started playing in my golf outing. I start supporting him through his foundation. And we have built probably a 17-year relationship, you know. And that's something that I appreciate a lot, you know. And it's fun. It's fun. But to answer your question, no, we haven't talked about that. And I never bring that up because it's almost like if you tell me the fourth time that I strike out, it's like bringing me, you know, to a bad game when it was tough for me. So
did that ever happen?
I think maybe once or twice
maybe?
In my career or something.
I mean, come on now.
I need to look at it, but it probably happens. I don't know. I respect that.
That home run race that you were in last year to get over 700, what was that like?
For me, it was just locked in. I knew that if I can stay healthy and get an opportunity to play, that I was going to be able to help and to contribute. And that's what happened. I got into a lockdown zone. Everything that I was seeing, man, I was just putting good contact. But everything went with the hard work that I put day in and day out. You know, when I was on the bench, I was cheering the guy. But in the middle of the inning, when we were playing defense, I was hitting in the cage, you know, and just preparing myself. And always prepare myself knowing, hey, if there's an emergency, which it happens a couple of times, and I came in and I hit a couple of homers, you know, you have to be ready. You have to respect your job. And as a veteran guy, I could have easily walked into the Cardinal Clubhouse and say, you know what, this is what I want to finish, but who cares? You know, my career has been so great. But no, man, I wanted to finish on top, and I thank the Lord for allowing me to finish, you know, the way that I did, and open the doors for me to go back to St. Louis and just end up my career on the high note.
Couple more questions for you, and I appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. Do you get to practice as much as you want to? I mean, now that you're retired, and what parts of the game do you work on the most?
Yeah, the short game. You know, this game is about, you know, around the green, getting up and down. I mean, these guys are, that's why they're the best. You know, like, whenever they're around the green, if they're known in the green, like, I'm always, like, standing to the side just to see how they address the ball, how they, you know, clip the ball through contact. You know, I can hit the ball long ways, and I can hit my iron long way, but at the end of the day, where you score is in the green, chipping in putt, you know, and if you're able to get it up and down, and that's what's so good about this guy, that they can get in trouble, they can hit one in the water, but if they're about 150 to 140 yards in, man, they put it really tight to get it up and down. Or they're in the bunkers, you know, which is some of the toughest shot. And these guys are getting it up and down, you know, and just move on with their part. You know, when us amateur, I mean, at least myself, I chipped one in actually in 12 today, but it's a little harder, you know, because it's not the job. But I work on the short game, you know, 100 yards in. That's where I struggle. I feel a little bit like I don't have that feel yet. And sometimes I get a little bit too much arm, and I end up pulling the ball instead of staking through the target and let the bounce of the club do the job. Mm-hmm. Because the clubs are designed to do their thing if you let them do their work and you don't try to force it. So for me, it's that, just working around the green as much as I can. I'm actually chipping really, really well. I put a lot of work last week before I came here with Michael Black back in Arroyo Trabuco. They helped me out, you know, to feel comfortable.
Albert, I'm a Cub fan, lifelong Cub fan, now a season ticket holder, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But I'm growing up, and I'm not liking the Cardinals, and you're one of the all-time greats. But last year, I put all that aside when I saw you, a little boy behind the Cardinal dugout at Wrigley Field, had a sign, said, "Would you please sign my jersey?" You didn't sign his jersey. You signed your jersey that you wore during that game. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it's really important. You know, at the end of the day, that's what we play for. We play for the fans, especially those little boys. I mean, I don't going to take every jersey and give away. You know, I could because, mm-hmm. you know, I think I made enough money to afford to buy more jersey. But at the end of the day, man, it's just the impact that you can make. And I think the Lord has given us so much in our life. And at the end of the day, this is just a game of baseball. And you want, as much as you want to compete and have a great game or have a great career, man, it's, you still have 40,000 people that come and support you. And the impact that you make, you know, off the field. And that, to me, was like no-brainer. And he actually didn't have a jersey. What he did, he put a sign, because I have given a jersey in Pittsburgh. I did it. I did it in Toronto. And he must have seen it on YouTube. And he had a big cardboard asking, "Pujols, can I have your jersey?" And, you know, game was over. I took it off and, you know, give it. Because that jersey right there is going to make a bigger impact in his life than mine if I would have kept it. If I would have said no to him, probably, like, he would have gone home. And what about if he was one of my biggest fans and I just told one of my biggest fans, "No, you can't have my jersey." You know, that would have make him think, even though he's a little kid, that would have make him think differently about me. So I'm not saying that I say no to some of the fans sometimes, because I feel like there's a space that you need to have. Like, to, you know, yesterday I signed some autograph outside. Today I signed few as I play. But at the same time, you know, I'm playing in a golf tournament. I want to keep the pace of play. There's always, you find the right time to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes fans can get a little bit angry when you say no, but they also need to respect, you know, the time, where, when to ask, when no, you know, when can you give the space to the celebrity? And we all know we have a responsibility with God, with our family, with the fans. But they also need to understand that they also need to give us some space ourselves.
Favorite ballpark outside of St. Louis you've played in?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I love Pittsburgh, man.
Is it the view there?
It's that, man. In the summer, it's just beautiful. And then part of that also just hitting well there. I think I still hold the visiting player home run record, whatever. At one point back in the day, I had more home run there than Jason Bay, I think, in McCutcheon. But at the end of the day, Pittsburgh, man, I love it. Just a city on a beautiful summer. You know, I love that, and I love Kansas City. I love for the Kansas City Royal Stadium.
Best golf course Albert Pujols has ever played.
Man, there's some great one in my bucket list, so it's hard for me to really pick one, you know. But there's few out there that I have played. The Bears Club, you know, I played the Grove,
Michael Jordan's
LA Country
course.
Club,
yeah,
Riviera. I love Riviera Country Club. And Reef. I mean, I think I love it because it's one of those things. Like, I play well when I play there, the time that I have, and I love Riviera too. But there's so many out there that I still is in my bucket list. And also across the pond where golf started. You know, I want to go across the pond and play some golf out there.
Well, the Cubs and Cardinals are playing in London in June. Are you going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going.
There. Yeah, I'll be there.
You want to play St. Andrews?
Well, hook it up.
I'm going up there the week after that. Okay. I'll be in St. Andrews.
Okay. I don't know if I can do that long because I'm going to be making another trip.
Okay.
Know? But I know in the future I will.
Fantasy foursome, you and three others, living or deceased, that you would like to play a round of golf with. Who would it be?
Wow. We'll say Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Jack.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's the three out there. I mean, there's so many others, but that's what came to mind.
Albert, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, brother.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Bless you.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. When you call Blackman Auctions to sell your assets, you begin a multi-point plan to get the highest value possible. Each auction takes 30 to 45 days of planning and strategic marketing for your real estate, your equipment, and your assets. You've worked hard for your property, and it deserves more than a sign in the yard or a post on the internet. Sometimes marketing is more than just a commercial with a great-sounding spokesman. Call me. Let me come up with a plan to tell your story and turn your assets into money. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Since 1938, Better Auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Thomas Blackman and his crew at Blackman Auctions, they know auctions. If you are thinking about attending an auction, I encourage you to go to their website, blackmanauctions.com. Check out one of their upcoming auctions, Blackman Auctions, one of our great sponsors of From the Shortgrass. It's now time for our rules segment, and with that, on the tee, Master PGA Professional Adam Carney.
Adam, this question comes in from William in Conway. He says, I noticed the other day that Hideki Matsuyama was disqualified from a tournament for a substance on the face of his driver. Do you know what it was, and what is the ruling that the committee made, and why?
It seems that Hideki had used white paint and had kind of created a hitting area on the face, something that gave him a visual, something that my former instructor, Rob Aiken, used to work with me. We used to use a Sharpie and just put a black dot on the face of the club. And I would just think about hey, black dot hits the back of the golf ball. Just simple stuff. And I think that was the motive for what Hideki was doing. He had created kind of this oval or circular shape in the middle of the face, which I think that's probably what his thought process was. But unfortunately, when he applied that, it was above the level of the grooves. So the rules have always prohibited applying a foreign substance to the face. And the purpose of it is when you apply a foreign substance above the grooves, what happens is spin is reduced. In this day and age, when we're fighting backspin off of a driver, say, this is actually off of a fairway wood that he used, but you know, you want to get as the least amount of spin that you can. When you apply a foreign substance to the face, it reduces spin, which makes the ball stay in the air longer. It also reduces side spin. So if you're a slicer, I thought about this. I read this question. The first thing that came to mind, I think it was a movie. I think it was Dead Solid Perfect. Maybe anyone remembers that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. I think it had Randy Quaid in it as a struggling tour player. And he goes out to hustle and gamble one day because he's not making any money on the tour, and gets on the first tee, and the guy says, hey, I use the grease. And he pulls out this big jar of Vaseline, and he applies Vaseline to the face of the club to reduce spin. So
yeah,
he doesn't, you know, his slice doesn't slice as much, and the ball stays in the air longer because it doesn't spin as much. And we all know when you apply those things to the face of the club, you can hit it further and straighter. So unfortunately, what he did caused him to be disqualified. There's nothing prohibiting paint being in the grooves to create that, as long as the groove depth is consistent with the rest of the grooves, number one. Number two, if that substance is above the level of the grooves on the face, then it's going to have a direct influence on the flight of the golf ball. So it's regrettable. I don't think he knowingly did that, you know, in order to cheat, because frankly, applying a substance like Vaseline is definitely cheating.
Yes.
I think he did it to create a visual in his mind of impact position, you know, where he wants to hit it in the face, and in so doing inadvertently breach the rules. It's a tough deal. You know, the other side of that is, you know, when that club came from the manufacturer, it's conforming, and if you do anything to it, then it could become non-conforming. So, yeah, tough situation. The ruling is absolutely correct, though.
William, yep. Thanks. Appreciate it. If you've got a question on the rules of golf, send us an email from theshortgrass@gmail.com.
Tuesday morning, June 6th, the golf world was shocked to learn that the PGA Tour and LIV was going to be joining together. In a letter to PGA Tour members, Commissioner Jay Monahan said, "Today is a momentous day for your organization and the game of golf as a whole. The PGA Tour, your tour, is leading the formation of a new commercial entity to unify golf, one that sees the end of the disruption and distraction that has divided the men's professional game for the better part of 3 years. Through a framework agreement, the Public Investment Fund, PIF, is contributing its golf-related commercial businesses and rights that include LIV Golf, along with a significant financial investment toward minority equity ownership of a new, collectively held, for-profit LLC. This new entity, named to be determined, will also include the PGA Tour's commercial businesses and rights, as well as those of the DP World Tour." Now, there are several players that are extremely upset at Commissioner Monahan over this. I think of Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, Tiger Woods. They all left money on the table to stay with the PGA Tour. John Rahm, another one that left millions of dollars on a table to stay with the PGA Tour. And Rory was one of the main ones that was committed to the PGA Tour. And then for Jay Monahan to turn his back and go and do this, I'm not a fan of Jay Monahan anymore, but I'm a fan of what's for the best of golf. And I think this is for the best of golf. You're going to get the best players competing week in and week out. And hopefully that's what we get. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.